before you go to our place, you have to pay attention if you want to hear me. You know, we are used to our own accent. Yeah, it's not the Nigerian. Join me as a welcome to this program. You are a shimmer. Come on.
Chapter 1, after Paul was converted, as the brother was reading
saved yet. He was still going to be blinded for 3 days. But he was saved when Ananias came with this message of the gospel. And then he got busy, didn't he? He got down to the business. And that word immediately was used in the book of Acts 9. So are you understanding my language? Okay. But you looked at me like I'm strange. I hope my message is eye-opening and it's going to open your ears and it's going to touch your heart. But I'm not that strange. I'm a messenger of the gospel. And so in Galatians 1, in verse number 15 and 16, the illustration of Paul, but as to when it pleased God, that's when salvation happens, who separated me, who appointed me into this ministry from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, as to when it pleased God. And here's what God did, is to reveal his Son in me. It is not a decision I have made as much as it's a revelation from God. Our brother Charles Spurgeon would say that surely a man must decide for Christ after he gets acquainted with him. And the acquaintance is the revelation of God in Christ inside your soul. And so you see him, I see him to be who he truly is, the God of glory. And we see him sat down at the right hand of God with majesty and all power in his hand. And so that there is a trembling in our soul and an awesome fearfulness of him. It is not a situation where I'm merely scared to die. I just had an almost accident on my chicken. No, it's a situation where I'm scared of the wrath of God. I'm fearful of meeting him in his judgment. And then God reveals Christ inside of the heart of a poor sinner as an act of God who predetermined that you be saved from the foundation of the world. It's an act of grace. It's a work of God. I believe it was in one of the hymns, even before we saw it. It came and got you. He didn't wait on you. He was not waiting on Paul to make a decision for Jesus. He decided for Paul. And he said, I've appeared unto you for this reason. You shall be my messenger. And so when that day came and it pleased God, and it pleased God that it always had Paul appointed for this ministry and this salvation, to actually call him through his grace and to reveal his Son in me, inside my heart, and so that I actually see the gospel of the risen Son. I see his power and his glory. I feel his power. And here is what the purpose, and it's the same purpose. Everybody is not a preacher, but everybody's a witness of Christ. Because everybody's on the same team. We have the same mission. Your life is about the same thing as my life. Every Christian has the same life. Is that I might preach him among the Gentiles. He revealed his Son in me that I may make his Son known unto other people. But look what he says here. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. I did not get anybody's permission to preach this gospel. I did not go home and ask my parents if it's okay to actually trust in Jesus. I've been preaching on the north.
north, outside Conroe for some weeks, and there you die if you come to Christ Jesus as a Muslim. Is that right, Brother Smith? They will kill you. And it's in Maiduguri, it's a particular tribe, is the dominant tribe. It's the Kanuri people, I believe, is the pronunciation. And so I asked the pastor there as to what percentage of Muslims will they try to kill if they come unto Jesus Christ, if you have 100 converts. And he said 99. His house was burned down too. And what they try to do is to burn your house down with you inside of it, right? And in Nigeria, if you put your locks on your windows, then there's no way out. Because you need an escape route out the back, some kind of way. But they will burn your house down with you inside for trusting Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you got to do or go to hell, O Muslim. And so we're trying to get them to do it because there's no choice, no option, no plan B. And it irritates me if I hear anybody say my parents are school fees. And that's why you won't trust in the gospel and confess Christ. Lay your life down. It's going to be more of that in this sermon in the next point. But it's going to cost my life. But the Apostle Paul, if you mind if I step down here, I'm a little bit restricted. The Apostle Paul didn't go ask Peter, is it okay, Peter, if I preach? Please. Oh God, sir. Oh, Daddy, is it okay if I preach? No, sir. He had heard from the Son of God. And a man is a man once he hears from God. He's no longer a small boy. And so once you hit 18, you hit that legal age, because you honor Muhammad's dad. But if they cast you out over the gospel, then you go find other people who believe. You have a commission from God Almighty Himself. He didn't say, I would like you to go preach the gospel. He said, go. He said, go. And His authority to send us on this mission is in the book of Matthew chapter 28. And I'll just read a verse here and one half and one quarter. So Matthew 28, verse number 18. And so are we clear on this so far? It's a commission from God Almighty Himself that has got to be obeyed. That's clear? Here's the authority behind this commission. It's not mom and dad's authority at the highest. Now, as a child, I have to obey my parents. And if I'm 14 and if they want to, if they're going to bring me into a false church, okay, I can understand. But you're grown now. Right? Adults. And you're able to marry. You're on your own. You are a man, sir. And now everything changes. I'm to honor my mother. Obey them. That's for children. I'm a grown man. I'm going to honor my mom, but she cannot command me. And I understand it's some cultural differences, and I'm in the USA, things are a bit different there, but what does the Bible say? Children obey. Everybody else, we honor them. But the authority in verse number 18, and I guess is the reason I'm on this point, my brothers, my sisters, I've heard from several Christians about their school fees and how they won't go worship as to where Christ is preached over their school fees. or their parents might kick them out of the house. We suffer until we die. That's what it means to be a Christian. And if you have to flee, you run. If they're going to kill you, if they're going to burn you alive, run. Our foundation, we hope to have a place where the Muslims who are persecuted and who convert can come work and live and help and be housed and have school. But you've got to die for this gospel. Because he said go. Not mom and dad. He didn't say ask permission from Oga. He said go on Oga. And verse number 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them. This is again after the resurrection from the dead. And he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. He came and he spoke unto them after pouring out his life's blood for our sin. That's what gives him the authority. That's what gives him the right with God to resurrect from the dead and sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high with all power and glory in his hand and all honor in his possession. Is that right? And so he says, I got all the power. I got all the authority. I'm the only one whose permission you need for anything in this world from now on. I'm your boss because God Almighty, he gave me this position because he resurrected me after I put away my people's sins and he suffered with the agony of the cross. He laid down his life. The immortal, eternal God laid down his life for sinners like you and me. He suffered our transgressions away. He paid the price himself. Then God raised him when it was satisfied. When the judgment of my brother and the justice that me and you could not pay, we didn't even have one naira to pay it with, when he satisfied all of that with his own blood, and the endless hell that me and you would be in, he suffered away. He paid the price. That's when God raised him. That's why God raised him. That's why the grave had no power over him. He paid the price of the sins he came to pay for. The elect people had their sins atoned. And how I wish and pray as you continue in the book of Romans all the way through. If you can do that and y'all listen, it'll be converts in here. It'll be true Christians. Because he's going to tell you the truth. God Almighty, he suffered away our transgressions in the person of his own Son. He paid the sins of his elect, the people he'd already chosen to save, just like Paul, who had been separated from their mother's womb unto the gospel and called by his grace and power unstoppable. Paul was not looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for Paul. It's the truth. You were not looking for Jesus. I was not looking for Jesus. I was just telling the people, my sister, my Daisy, which is the coordinator of the mission work. And I was telling her how everybody, or at least I came into the contact of the gospel that first time as an unrighteous man. All I wanted was just to add a little bit unto my sermon. I had heard this preacher always on the blood of Christ, always talking about the blood of Christ. I heard it on the radio. And he laughed. And he's happy. And the preacher I was listening to was sad and dreary because he had a whip. But then when I heard the blessed gospel, I found out, my sister, I didn't know anything, and all my righteousness was just filthy rags. I was pretending, David. I didn't even know it. I thought I was sincere, but I was going in the wrong direction. And it was God who separated me. It was God who died for our sins. It was God that resurrected His Son. It was God that opened up your eyes. And it is God that saved you. All power and authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go. Get going. And what a happy life it is. Look, it's the only way that you and I can be happy is to go. It's the only way the Holy Spirit is going to be with us in joy and power is to go. He's not going to give you and me the Spirit just to keep Christ unto ourselves. I have tried that. I've tried unto be happy not serving Jesus. How about you? But when you go, He helps you. When you go, is He blesses you on your knees in prayer. When you go, He forgives your sins even more quickly because you're not going to keep it unto yourself. After you get up off your knees by His recovering Spirit, you're going to go tell somebody else. And so He gives you the Spirit with power and you get to walk in Him. But it's the only way, right, Sam? It's it. There's only one way. It's my friend back home is a rapper. He's a Christian rapper. And he's really good. And he has a song called "There's Only One Way." This old raspy voice. "There's only one way." But the lyrics are dope. There's only one way unto be happy in Jesus is to go. Because He sent you into this world. So stop serving your parents. Stop serving yourselves. And go and preach Christ into all this world. And everybody does not have the same gift. I'm an orator, small. This man here is big. Preacher, and you might be a servant. Well, I think I'm in here with some rich kids. I'm not mad at you. But if you were a servant and you had to be a maid unto somebody, you're still going. It was a maid that told Naaman that there was a prophet in Israel, and she got her courage up and said, "Oh, if you only went into Israel, that's where there's a prophet." And big, strong, big, rich Naaman went all the way into Israel and was healed by Elisha. Actually healed from his leprosy in an instant. So even a maid girl, I can do a lot of good. How about me and you? Let's get going. Let's get going. Then, point number two, if we go back into Mark chapter 16, please. Mark chapter 16. Verse number 16 is a strong statement. He who believes and is baptized, that's the commitment of the confession of Christ. But he who does not believe, he will be condemned. If you open your Bible or your mind into the book of 2 Corinthians 5, and I want to talk about this for just a minute, is the commitment that comes from following Christ. There is a true faith that actually lays down its life and everything else. That's the only kind of faith that's real. The act of baptism is not being commanded or you die and you go to hell for all of your sins. It's a lot of these Anglican brothers in the UK, in England, they have not preached baptism properly. They still sprinkle babies. But that doesn't mean that they're not saved. It could be William Romaine, Augustus Copley, John Newton. These men, these believers have believed of the gospel more than me and you combined. But they haven't gotten baptism right in the act, but they've gotten it right in the commitment. What baptism says is I died. Not just I judicially died with Christ, even though that's true. That you and I were actually one with Him when He died upon the cross. And so when God was punishing Him, He was actually punishing you and me, even though we felt no pain. Just like Noah was actually in the ark that went through the flood, and he went through the flood, but he was dry the whole time, and no water touched him. But Scripture says he went through the flood. Me and you who believe actually died in Christ 2,000 years ago, and that's why our sins were paid. It's not the tears being you shed. It can be some real tears too. It can be tears of agony and pain. I've sinned. But that's not what pays for sins. What pays for sins is the blood of Christ, right? It's not my naira. I was in the north, my brother. I was so surprised. This is bad as Legos. It's scary how bad it is. The false gospel that came from Legos, which came from the USA, of health, wealth, and prosperity, has swallowed Nigeria whole. And so that the Christians have to be saved under Matthew almost as much as the Muslims do. Because it got a false gospel that is nothing but about health and money and wealth and success in this world. It's an evil gospel. It's not what Christ preached. But what they do, brother, is they get you because they play on your lust. You naturally want money. And if I'm not born again, I do too. And so they hold it up as a carrot stick. And here's what they tell you. I don't know what I got in here, but If you give 500, that's going to be 1/5. And all you got to do is you give it to me. What a huckster. What a scam on God and in God's name. You give me money and then God will make you rich? Why don't you spin it around and tell the preacher to start paying you when you get richer? But they do this even in the north because they think, my sister, their filthy naira can take away their sin. Oh, it's a curse of my ancestral village. That's the reason I'm struggling. It's my great-grandmother's cousin is a witch. How do I remedy this? Not by faith in Christ, but I'm going to pay more money unto the preacher. Christ took away the curse, and it wasn't your grandma's cousin, it was from God. He's the one that cursed you. His wrath is what was on you. And it was Christ who redeemed you and me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that we might get the Holy Spirit and live the Christian life. If it's my time frame, you can keep that. Because I waited patiently in my seat. I'm going to preach now. I'm here. I done flown in from Maguri. I have paid my money. I had a hotel last night. And if you don't mind, I'm going to preach the sermon. So please be patient. But this your life of the Christian is an all-out commitment. It's not only that I judicially died at the cross, I died at the cross. That means that my old ways and your old ways, that actually me and you are dead as we once were, and we live an entirely new life now. It's not adding Christ unto my life. It's a whole new life that is Christ. And so from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 14, verse number 15. For the love of Christ, it compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, he's talking about all who were saved, there is not going to be anybody in this all who is in hell, because God cannot punish the same sins twice. And your faith, it doesn't make God take away your sins. Christ's blood did that. Your faith receives the forgiveness of sins into your own conscience. It receives its benefit for you, but it does not change that transaction that took place in heaven 2,000 years ago when Christ was punished for our sins. That work was settled. That's why he cried out, "It is," that's right, "finished." Everything it takes, everything that is required, it's finished. I pay the price. But if one died for all who were saved, then look what it says. All died. I died. And he died for all, that those who live and everyone who died with him has to also live with him. That's the message of the baptism. In the resurrection of Christ, if you go down into the water, I'm not going to keep you there. That would be murder. If you go down into the water and then they bring you out after you're fully wet, that means I died with Christ and I live with Christ been resurrected from the dead. He tells us in Romans 6, you can't have the death if you don't have his life too. It's connected. It's a package. I can't get the forgiveness of sins without also having newness of life. They are connected. Are you seeing that? The death and the burial and resurrection are connected as one act in the eyes of God. If you participate in any of it, you have to have both. That those who live and have this new life of faith in them, this new resurrection of the soul, like Lazarus, who come forth from the dead, here's what life is, should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died. Him who died for them and rose again. Hot in Nigeria. Not as hot here as it is up north. It was 107, almost 40 degrees Celsius. And I'm sweating up a storm up there as an older man just sweating. You're almost there, bro. You can laugh if you want. But this new life of faith in Christ means that the old me, with all my dreams and ambitions, died. Everything that motivated me died. Who I was in the flesh. And that's why Paul says, and so now we don't know any man after the flesh any longer. I used to think about me and my life. I used to want to live my life for myself. But now, I live for Christ Jesus because that man, me, died. Who I used to be, died. Who I am by nature, died. Who I still struggle with to suppress and keep down, he died 2,000 years ago that I might live for the Son of God. In resurrection power. That's being a brand new creation and having the power of the Holy Spirit to live an entirely new life. Not my own any longer. If we used to sing that song in the U.S. just before I came here, and you can probably sing it, sister. I can't sing it. If my life is not my own, unto you.
I give myself to you.
Okay, you came in late. Now, when you sing those words, are you really me? that's the question. That's the hook. That's the reason I'm here. I was a groveling sinner in my sin with no power to control myself. And he set me free. Now my life's not my own. To him I belong. I give myself away. Whatsoever you will, life or death, wherever you want me to go, that's just Christian. That's not missionary. That's Christian. That's the doctrine of baptism. And he's saying, if you believe without getting baptized, it's worthless. He's not just talking about that water, even though that commitment, it costs our Anabaptist brethren to be baptized as an adult in Reformation era. It would cost you your life. They would take a screw and screw your tongue and do your jaw. And would actually slice open the belly of the pregnant women. and tie them onto the tree just over the doctrine of baptism. But what Jesus is saying is something further. If you don't believe on me with the life-changing faith, the kind of faith that gives you life, the kind of faith that makes Christ everything and everything else nothing and secondary, you don't have faith at all. It's not the saving faith of God's life. Because the demons even believe in and they tremble. But they don't obey. So let me ask you, as I'm concluding with this point, I got another point here to go. What kind of faith do you and I have? Is it the kind of faith, sir, that he's my master? That means I come unto my Bible for him unto be my teacher. And so I don't necessarily learn everything in one day, but I keep going back unto the Bible, unto the Word of God, unto the light, that it may be proven that my deeds are being done in God. That I'm actually righteous with you. I'm actually pleasing unto you. I'm actually living for your glory. I'm not fooled. I'm not deceived. As I talked to a poor woman up in the Missouri region who's heard the gospel. And her response was, I have wasted 11 years of my life. This was a Muslim convert. But they had been preaching under her lies. Then when her family tried to kill her, they sent her into Lagos with no money at the age of 16 years old and no contact. And you can imagine what happens unto a 16-year-old girl in Lagos with no money and don't know anybody and can't really even speak English. How they raped her. And she said, I have been wasting my life believing these false doctrines. As to what she says, if they want you to touch the if they want you to touch Papa's feet and give him the money, that sounds enough. Have to worship Papa and pay. What a waste of life. But now that she's beginning, that's what I'm telling her, is that now you get to go tell your story and you get to go help other poor sinners. Because you've been redeemed from your false doctrine and from your Islam. Give your life unto him. And when you come to get baptized, if he's not your life, health or sickness, thick or thin, parents, no parents, no matter what happens unto me, if he's not the number one on the throne, do not request baptism in any church on the earth. It will never get it to you. But if you do believe, all rise and make that commitment known. Point number three is my last point. You turn back here into Mark chapter number 16, and we're going to spend a minute here. And I really want you to see this here for yourself. It's the spiritual nature of the kingdom. And I think that this might be really helpful if we open our eyes and if we deal with things in reality. And so there's going to be no hocus pocus, no fake miracles. Let's open our eyes and really see what the scripture says and then really see what's happening in reality. As the Lord Jesus says in verse numbers 17 and 18, and these signs it's they will follow. Now, in the newer translations, this particular portion of scripture is often left out, as they say it isn't, in the oldest manuscripts, but I don't want to go that route. I think that there is a spiritual nature of the kingdom, and there is a spiritual way of understanding things that have no presence in reality. Not in the physical realm. Verse 17, and these signs will follow. This is absolutely certain. Those who believe, not just apostles, but those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. It's a little bit hard to see if that's true. There are many, you know, famous preachers who cast out demons when the person lays down and they wiggle in the street and they pop up and after maybe 3 days, right back in their sin. And the person didn't do anything that's even in the Bible. There is no pushing people down and wiggling in the Bible. This person went up to one of our medical missions. I wasn't there. And so he snuck in. And started preaching. We started trying to push the people down, but bless God, it was Muslims who didn't understand all that foolishness. And once I found out, I think it's as angry as I've been in Nigeria. I told him, get out! Don't have anything, don't associate our name with that nonsense. But what the scripture says is that they will speak in new tongues. Does anybody speak in tongues now? Like in the Bible? It's in the Bible, as to when they spoke in tongues, it was another known language, as if I could speak in Europe. I would not be using English. If I could even speak pidgin, I wouldn't be speaking English. If I could speak broken. If you go up north, it's in Hausa. If you go east, it's in Igbo. Or Akwaibo. That's speaking in languages. That's speaking in tongues. That's what happened in Acts 2. But can you do it? Or anybody else? Is there anybody on planet Earth that can all of a sudden speak in a known language that they have not learned and speak it clearly and communicate the gospel?
No. No.
It's the early church could and the early church did, but that was a picture unto me and you that the Almighty God's power, it was with the apostles. And so when they said, thus says the Lord, and you're supposed to take it serious. And the reason it's been taken away is that there are no more apostles. But this verse says, these signs shall follow every believer. As you don't have to actually turn here, but I'm going to read you something out of the book of Zephaniah 3. And as to what I want you to do now is to be realistic. If the miracles were here, if a man has to really good raise somebody from the dead, don't you think that he raised his own son? If a man actually could promise you that you shall not die, don't you think that he wouldn't have died today? You have to reason. You have to think. If the miracle is real, where is it? Because I always tell people I have a crooked finger.
is from playing ball. Is there anybody, would you risk your soul or even your life that anybody could heal it on planet Earth just by speaking, just by prayer? Or would you tell me to go see a doctor? If you got stabbed, my sister, and they were out to run you and they stabbed you in the side, would you go run up to the pulpit of the papa and say, hey, pray for me with some oil? Or would you run up to the hospital and pray to God as you saw the doctor? Let's get real. Let's get real. But the Almighty God, He does say from the book of Zephaniah 3 in verse number 9, is for then I will restore to the people a pure lip. After all my idolatry, after all my blasphemies, after all my lies as a false prophet, that they shall call on the name of the Lord. It will be sincere. It won't be phony in faith to serve Him with one shoulder. He's saying, I'm going to make your mouth speak the things of God. It's a new living. And if you haven't been convinced yet, let's go back into Mark chapter 16. And I want you to see it with your own eyes. If you brought your Bible, if you got your phone, it's okay to look or it's okay to listen. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, I have some poison in my bag. I do. If there's any challengers, I would warn you, I would really try to stop you. But if you went home and you really wanted to try to, actually prove your doctrine that this is literal, if you do take poison, it ain't on me. I told you not to do it. Because I'm going to tell you that's what's going to happen. You're going to die like everybody else. Is there any false prophet in the world who wants to take this poison challenge? Wants to actually prove his power, Mark 16, well then do it! Or you figure it out, that's the way it really means. It's one of the two. And the Bible is spiritual, and the kingdom is spiritual. And heaven is not of this world. All pain is not gone yet. All sickness is not gone yet. All death is not gone yet. There's still pain in childbearing. There is still, you got to make your money with the sweat of your brow. There's still thorns and thistles in this world. That curse has not been removed. Don't let people tell you different. Open your eyes. But they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. All these things must happen with every believer. Acts chapter 27 is my last verse. Acts chapter 28. Who took up the serpent? Anybody else in the Bible? No. Is anybody on the track? It's the King Cobra's here now. In the U.S., we got the rattlesnake, and I'm told it just got small poison. Oh, but that King Cobra, is it going to be you, sister, to pick him up? I have a actual tattoo of a cobra. I was in my waiting list. I'm just
as the Eagle said,
but I wouldn't get in touch with
him. And I'm a believer. But the Apostle Paul, in order to illustrate something, after he had been tried by the devil, after he had been shipwrecked, after he had been chased by the Pharisees, after he had been thrown in prison, Acts chapter number 28, and verse number 3 through 5 is my last scripture. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper, a serpent, came out because of the heat, and it fastened on his hand. And so when the natives saw the creature actually hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. It is interesting that all the while they're making this long statement, this statement that's hanging on Paul's hand. It is possible he didn't even notice it was there. Verse number 5. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. What does that mean? It means that Paul is a picture of what meaning we really have of faith in Christ. It's the believer can hear false doctrine and it won't hurt him. He can fall and he will be recovered, even in fornication. Some of you are already there. He can pull you out of that and keep your testimony going. And you keep strolling in the kingdom of Jesus and you hate yourself and you repent and you fear God and you get stronger after the experience. A true believer can go through thick and thin with the devil, all kinds of persecution and slander and hardship, and you lose your money, you almost lose your wife, you lose your house, just like Job, and it not hurt him at all. He still trusted Christ. Hey, oh my Redeemer, slay me. I'm still here. I'm still trusting in Jesus. I can't get rid of him. It's inside me. I'm not going anywhere. Even when I want to turn back, he's pulling me towards him. The true child of God is impervious to sin's mastery. It will never have dominion over you again in your life, no matter what the devil does. It's because God has no take backs. And when he takes you as his own, he doesn't give you to anybody else. When he reveals his son in you, he stays there. So no matter what poison I hear, what the devil is trying to do, I, just like you, just shake it off. But if your meaning is in the literal and in the physical, I'm in trouble. Because he just might go home and try it. And then when I hear word that so-and-so died, I'm going to be sad. But I'm going to say, I told you so. Speaking in tongues is not No, sir. If you read your Bible in Acts 2, it's other known languages. That's what it's always been. And the gift left here shortly after the apostles. And if you're Anglican, if you read your 39 articles, it's in there. It's in there. The true gospel is in there. Just read it. It's the first few chapters are all sovereign grace. I'm in the right spot preaching.
It's not physical. It's the kingdom is not of this world. It's our riches in Christ have nothing to do with money. Peter said, I don't have any money, Peter said, in spite of, in Acts 2, everyone was pouring it down at my feet. I didn't keep it unto myself. It was used to help poor people. It's not about money. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. Redemption, predestination, and election, and justification by faith, and all the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, what? Holiness is His life's ambition inside of us as a believer. Not how stupid it would last, but no. A holy life. A holy life. And you can have that, and it's real. You don't have to fake. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to close your eyes. Because you have to close your eyes in order to believe the thing that men are preaching in the name of God. You know you didn't get a healing, you're still sick. If you know you didn't see an actual miracle, you have the person say, "Oh, my back got hurt." As I meet my Pentecostal friends and they tell me about all their miracles, I always ask them, "Did you go see the doctor?" And if something really happens, the answer is yeah. But they always credit is the miracle of Papa. Come on. Let's go back into our Bibles and open our eyes. Is the message of freedom in our heart? No false promises, and there's absolutely nothing that does not happen. It's real on the inside. So the kingdom of God, which is spiritual, is it has this, go. Go, get going into all the world. Tell your friends and tell all the faith Christians that are just like me and you were about the real Christ. You've got a great mission. It isn't only the drunks you have to evangelize, it's the Christians. Make your commitment for Christ. He's everything, and you and I, we hold Him everything until we die, and we're going to obey Him until our last breath, if it costs us our life. And understand that the kingdom of God is spiritual. It's not of this world. And so read your Bible with spiritual eyes, and you'll understand as to what it truly means. Amen? Amen. There's some books here. If you have an iPad, please don't have a book. I would like the representative of the men. It's going to be two books.